I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. It's wonderful to be victorious. Hallelujah. The scripture said, you know, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then also he said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. It is not God's will and plan that you lose, or that you win some and you lose some, and you're maybe you overcome this, but then you're defeated. But you know, don't try to just fight it, because the failure and the defeat is part of God's plan too. That is not true. I know a lot of people believe it, but it's not what the scriptures teach. It is not truth. What did he say? He always.
Always.
How can that be true? Always causes us to triumph, and it's his will for you to lose some and fail some. How can that be true? I want to hear you say it. Thanks be unto God.
Thanks be unto God.
Who gives me the victory.
Who gives me the victory.
Through my Lord Jesus Christ.
Through my Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
More than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror.
Through Christ.
Through Christ.
Greater is he.
Greater is he.
Who is in me.
Who is in me.
Than he who is in the world.
And he who is in the world.
Thanks be unto God.
Thanks be unto God.
Who always.
Who always.
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 Causes me to triumph.
Causes me to triumph.
He said that that triumph would be a spiritual fragrance that people would notice around us. When we walk in, people should smell something.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Spiritually.
That's right.
People go, what is that smell?
Uh-huh.
Victory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's essence of victory.
Yes.
Essence of triumph. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because that's what the gospel is Jesus' triumph over sin,
mm-hmm.
over judgment,
yes.
over death.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Triumph. Victory. Glory to God. And you and I, the Bible said, he that's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Yes.
So faith is part of that victory smell, that victory essence and fragrance that we should emanate, that just should be around us, that whether people know what they're sensing or not, they should sense favor.
Yes.
Grace.
Yes.
Blessing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Life.
Yes.
Victory. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Isn't it wonderful to have such a God? To have such a salvation?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, it would be completely out of character and completely contrary to these truths for then us to turn around and say that God gets glory out of poverty and lack. Lack doesn't smell like victory.
No.
Getting kicked out of your apartment doesn't smell like victory, right?
No.
Losing everything you got, can't pay your bills, that's not a good witness. No. And so we have been for a number of weeks now on this series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've been going through one after another 30 reasons, and we just recently extended that to 40 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say that out loud with me. Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For us all.
For us all.
Now you see, we're talking the same idea. Not win a few, lose a few. Not God's will for some to have plenty and some to be in abject poverty. No, we're saying it's always God's will. For all of us to have abundance, abundant provision. Now, abundant provision's different things for different people, but it eliminates lack, eliminates coming short, doing without. Say it again, abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For me.
For me.
That means this week.
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
Today, this week, it's God's will. You don't have to labor about it and wrestle with it. Is it? Is it not? Might be, might not be. No, it is God's will for you to be able to pay your bills. Take care of your family. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Your business, your church, your school, your ministry, whatever it may be. It is not some kind of God's mysterious will for you to run out, lack, come behind. All of that stress, all of that pressure from financial and material lack is not of God.
That's right.
It's not of God. And do we not think that the God who created the heavens and the earth could help us pay our electric bill?
Oh,
yes. Huh? I'm convinced that He can, that He will. And that brings us to what we've been talking about in our 30 reasons. We're actually down to reason number 30 in our study. And if you'd turn to Acts, the second chapter, please. Acts chapter 2. Reason number 30 in our study is the beginning days of the church. We are sure. We're convinced abundant provisions, always God's will for us all, because of what we see the Lord doing for the church in the beginning days of the church. Now, you'll hear sometimes people refer to the church here that's described in the book of Acts as the early church. I don't particularly care for that designation because it leaves the impression almost that it's a different church from us. No, it's the same church.
Yes.
We're a part of the same church.
Yes.
That's why I say it like that, early days of the same church. And because whatever was God's will for them, it's His will for us. Whatever the Holy Spirit was doing then, He still wants to do now. We got the same Jesus.
Yes.
Right? Is that right? As in the book of Acts, same Jesus, same head of the church, same gospel.
Yes.
Same Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Well, then we should see the same things. We should be experiencing the same things. And, you know, the title of the book is, in most Bible says, the Acts of the Apostles. Well, that's a title men gave it. I don't think that's actually the best title because you see acts of other people beside apostles. You see prophets. You see evangelists. You see laity, that he gives accounts of things that happen. Well, what the main thing you keep seeing on almost every page is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right? I mean, Acts 2, what does it kick off with? On the day of Pentecost, right?
Yes.
He came. And then, so it's the acts of the Holy Spirit through not just apostles, but the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and laity, believers. And so in this second chapter, after they were filled with the Spirit, we saw that in verse 41, Acts 2:41, they that gladly received His word were baptized the same day. There were added to them about 3,000 souls. So, I mean, right off the bat, they are a church of thousands. And I mean, immediately. In verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, this is a continuation of verse 1 in the chapter where it says they were one accord in one place. And it's a continuity of that same unity. And we keep referring to this because you won't see the great grace on all of them without the unity. You won't see the signs and wonders and the apostles and different ones giving witness with great power without the unity. And you certainly won't see everybody giving like they're described here to be giving and everybody's needs being met without the unity, which is why the enemy attacks the unity, does everything he can to create and perpetuate strife. You ought to despise strife. The Bible said that where envy and strife is, James said, there is every evil work. Strife in manifestation is the enemy in manifestation. It's evil spirits in manifestation. And of course, on the other hand, when you experience peace that passes understanding, and the joy that is your strength, that's the Holy Spirit in manifestation, right? So we should give no place to the enemy, and we should give full place to the Holy Spirit. All that believed were together, had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Verse 47, the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So the church is just continuing to increase by the thousands. And down in verse, into the chapter, chapter 4, we see that what was going on in chapter 2 is still happening. Verse 32, chapter 4, verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Now notice, he doesn't lead with talking about how all their needs were being met.
That's right.
He leads with talking about how together they were.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
Unity. They were of one heart and one soul. Can you see? This goes back to chapter 2, verse 1. Mm-hmm. One place. One accord. One heart. One soul. Together. 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 We should fight for this.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
And we should adamantly oppose anything that tries to sever us and divide us and pit us one against another. Immature Christians are quick to fuss and fight.
Yeah.
That's a sign of being a spiritual baby. You know, babies, if they're uncomfortable, what happens? They make a noise.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right?
They complain loudly. They don't care who they wake up. They don't care who they interrupt. Doesn't even cross their mind. Huh? Why? They're babies. They're babies. But at some point you should grow up. Right? And realize that everything that disquiets you or discomforts you doesn't give you a right to make everybody else unhappy. Maybe you just need to get a hold of you. Right? And talk to yourself. And make an adjustment before you start a riff amongst other people about why you're unhappy and you're not getting this and this is not what you wanted. And don't act like a whiny baby, ninny baby. Don't do it. Grow up and learn. You don't have to get your way on every little thing. And you can still be happy. Huh? Learn. That a lot of things, even though you notice it, even though you see it, even though you may be right, right now you need to be quiet.
Yes, sir.
And you need to pray.
Lord, yes.
See what the Lord is saying to you about it. I know some years ago I overshared with somebody. Now, you've probably never done that, you know. But I'm talking about trying to minister the word, okay. Sharing the word.
Yes.
And I saw it didn't go good. You know, I wasn't happy with the results afterwards. And the Lord spoke this to my heart. He said, son, it's not what you know. It's not what they need. It's what will they receive.
That's right.
Yes. Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
Say it out loud. It's not what you know.
It's not what you know.
It's not what they need.
It's not what they need.
It's what will they receive.
It's what will they receive.
Well, who knows that?
The Holy Spirit.
You don't know that.
Nope.
But the Holy Spirit knows
That's
that.
Right.
And what he pointed out to me, that a lot of times, especially with relatives and family, you're not even the one that should talk to them.
That's the truth.
Because in some cases, they'd reject it just because it's you. Just because it's coming through you. You're not the only one he can use.
Right?
And that's when you pray and ask the Lord to send laborers across their path. And he knows who they would receive it from. And then you want to be available for him to use you to minister to somebody else that might not receive from their family, but they'd receive from you.
Yes.
But we need to be more led by the Spirit instead of just blurting out everything we see, everything we feel, everything we think. That's being a baby.
Yes.
Somebody say to the Lord, help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To grow up. I want to develop.
I want to mature.
And not be a baby.
Amen.
He will help you. He is helping us right now. It says the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. And the reason I said all that is because obviously in these thousands of people, 10, 15, maybe 20,000 people at this point. You got people from all walks of life, right?
That's right.
All kind of backgrounds, all kind of routines and, you know, traditions and all that kind of thing. How did they get along? They had just as many differences as a group of 20,000 would have today. They didn't try to adapt to each other. They're all conforming to Christ.
Right.
Oh, come on, can you see this?
Yes.
And they're not making a big deal out of stuff that's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they are focusing on the Great Commission.
Yes.
Let's get this gospel out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And fulfilling the directive to preach the gospel and build the church. It says, neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Unity, grace, power. And next verse says, neither was there any among them that lacked. Man, this sounds like an earthly utopia.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Everybody's getting along.
Yes.
Right? Now come on, you got to realize these people were not all of the same exact persuasion. They were, you know, from this country and that country and background and other background, and different languages and all kind of stuff. And yet, they were able to rise above the pettiness. The thing is, you got to have a common purpose that's bigger than you and bigger than your little stuff. And they were on it. And what did Jesus say? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the result? All these things, and the specific things he was referring to was your food and your clothes and material things. All these things shall be added to you. Were they doing Matthew 6:33? Were they seeking first the kingdom of God? What's the result? Not one among them lacked. We see it come to pass. Exactly what Jesus said come to pass. Let me read this to you from the other translations, but it says, neither was there any, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Don't let this phrase get away from you. Among thousands, tens of thousands of believers, not one among them that lacked. Are we reading God's will?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Why would he have this recorded? Why does he want us to know this? Because that was his will. That is his will. It'll always be His will. Abundant provision.
Yes.
For us all.
Yes. Hmm?
Yes. You see where I got that phrase?
Yes.
Well, listen to these other translations. Young's literal says it like this. This is verse 34. Not one among them that did lack. Lamsa says, not a man among them was destitute. The RSV, the Weymouth, others says, there was not a needy person among them. Among who? All these thousands of the church. The 20th century says, there was no poverty among them. No poverty. It wouldn't have mattered what else was going on in the city, or what part of the city, or who was in office.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Or what was happening in the economy when you got to the part of town where the church was. Is this the will of God?
Yes, it is.
What kind of witness is this?
Good witness.
What kind of witness? And what kind of draw is it for people who are struggling out there just to survive? That look on this, the Bible said it's the goodness of God that draws people. When it's looking and saying, well now, everybody I meet from that church, all their bills paid, kids dressed good, nobody going hungry, everybody. They say, have you met anybody from over there? No, not a one. Because there was not a one. Not a needy person among them. There was no poverty among them. There was no poor among them. No one went in need of anything, the CEV says. No one. This is week after week, month after month, year after year. No matter what else was going on in the world, God was taking care of His church.
Yes, He is.
Because they were actually listening to Him.
Yes.
Huh? They were keeping the love command. How many know you got to keep the love command if everybody in all these thousands is not going to fuss and fight all the time? You got to be walking in love. You got to be forgiving people. You can't be holding grudges.
That's right.
You can't be making a big deal out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Acting a baby all the time, demanding your way about every little thing. Can't be doing all that. And you got to be every morning when you open in your eyes thinking about how can we reach the rest of the world, is that right, with the gospel. How can we support these ministers and ministries? How can we get this out? And how can we take care of the church? How can we? And everybody was pooling their resources, their energies, their times, their stuff, their money. And it was wonderful. And it's still supposed to be that way today.
Yes.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Not one among them that lacked. I just like saying that.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Go to Luke 22. The master, always that way. I tell you what, go to Luke 10 first. And then we'll go over to Luke 22. Luke chapter 10, Jesus, verse 1 actually, 10 and 1, He sent 70 two by two and two before His face to every city and place where He Himself would come. And what you see the church doing there in the book of Acts of the ministries going out, and He said, the 12 learned it personally from Him, these things. And so they're just doing what He told them to do. After His resurrection, verse 2, He said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Now that don't sound fun.
No.
But what He's taught, and you'll see this in the next verses, He's talking about instead of you, let's say it like this. There's a phrase we use in the world, dog eat dog.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be similar to wolf eat wolf or wolf eat lamb.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this violence and this take what you want or what you need by violence. And He says, I'm sending you out in this world full of wolves, like a lamb. Well, a lamb would be defenseless, uncovered and defenseless. And here, then he says, verse 4, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes. Hold on, what's he saying? Go unclothed. Go with no protection, no financial protection, no provision. He mentions, if you put the passages together from the gospel accounts, no scrip, no money in your bag, no extra clothes. They didn't have suitcases with them. Why? Because he's going to show them how he provides for them. Come on, can you see this? How he takes care of them. Because and this is what you see in this book of Acts, and we're going to see this further. That's one of the greatest revelations you can ever have, is that God is my source.
Yes.
My unlimited, unfailing source. I don't have to run out. I don't have to do with that. Go to the 22nd chapter, verse 35. After some length of time, he asked them in verse 35. He says, when I sent you without a purse, without scrip, without shoes, did you lack anything?
Nothing.
And what'd they say?
Nothing.
Not a thing. Are we seeing a recurring theme here?
Yes, we are.
How many among them that lacked?
None.
Not a one. When I sent you out, how many of you come short and lack? Nobody. Did you lack anything? No, didn't lack anything. Anything. What does that mean? We already talked about this. We saw how God provided for his people in the wilderness, where there was no food, there was no water, there was no anything, and he did it for 40 years,
yes,
every day of their life. Well, then he can do it for the 12.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
On their mission and evangelism trips. He can do it for 20,000 people.
Yes.
He could do it for 20 million people. Are you understand? There's no limit with him. There's no restriction with him. I want to hear you say it out loud. My God,
my God
is my source.
Is my source.
Unlimited.
Unfailing.
Supply.
For all my
needs. No matter where I am.
No matter
what's going on.
My God
takes care of me.
And
our time's up again today. We'll see you soon back in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390